Father, I pray this morning that these words that I speak will be your words and that I will sing out your praise as a sacrifice of my own life. For I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I can't tell you that just singing that last song, I've never sung a verse so movingly as I look to the day, the passing away of all that is crippling and painful as I attempt to get up and stand the steps without my knee giving way under me. That's fine. God is very good. To what are you called? It's probably the single most important question that we have to answer as Christians. And we are all called. Many of you know that I was the DDO, the Director of Ordinands in Bristol for 7 years, and I worked with people like Sam, actually, people who loved the Lord so much that all they wanted to do was give their heart and soul and mind to God. And they had a very specific calling to ordained ministry, but the reality is, as I came to understand it, absolutely everybody is called. It's not just the people who stand up here in the funny clothes. It's everybody. Because every single person's life in the body of the church has purpose and value and meaning. Everybody is loved. Everybody's life has value and purpose and meaning. And we all have our part to play in the Lord's service. So whatever it is that you are called to, whatever aspect of the church's life you're called to, we are all equally important. So whether it's when you make the tea or if you do these beautiful flowers, which I couldn't even begin to get close to creating something as lovely as this, whether you're called to preach or to sing God's praises, whatever it is you're called to, you have absolutely a pivotal place here in this church and in God's world. And if you don't remember anything else this morning, just remember that. You are loved. Your life has meaning and purpose and value. As I was DDO, I came to understand that every Christian is called to three things. The first thing that every single Christian is called to, in fact, every human being is called to, is to love God with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. As Jesus said, there is no other higher commandment than this. And when we love God with all of our whole heart and mind and strength, that is a response to his great love for us. In that Romans reading that we had, we heard the doxology. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Therefore, and whenever Paul says, therefore, you should be listening to that because he was a lawyer and he linked cause and effect. Therefore, because God is who God is, through whom and for whom and in whom all things are held together, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. What does God require of you? He wants everything. Your whole life. Everything you are, everything you could be. And not just on a Sunday morning when we come and we sing our praises, but he wants us to be oriented towards him throughout our whole life. Sunday through to the next Sunday, 24/7. Our whole lives oriented to God in praise and thanksgiving for his great mercy and his love for us. It's his life, it's his being that gives our life that purpose and meaning. We are merely a shadowy reflection of his glory and his passion for his world. So the first thing that we are called to is we are called to love God with all of our heart and mind and soul and strength, so that our whole lives, day by day, are oriented towards his glory. There's that amazing picture in Revelation, isn't there, with the Lamb on the throne and all of creation standing before him and worshipping him. And then there are bits of Revelation which say, you know, there are beasts coming up out of the sea, and there's angels flying overhead, and there's all this chaos and stuff going on. And yet everyone is facing the Lamb and worshipping him and him alone. And for me, that's one of those pivotal pictures in the Bible. Whatever is going on in my life, whatever chaos, all those things that are going on, all those things I'm called to do, must do in my life, still my focus, my face is turned towards Jesus. Jesus on the throne. That's how we live out our lives as whole life disciples, constantly oriented towards God in the person of Jesus Christ. Love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And when you've begun to get the hang of that a bit in your life, then we have the second call of all Christians, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. This is when it starts to get a bit harder, because some of our neighbors, as we've said before, are easier to love than others. And who is my neighbor? In our gospel reading today, we heard Jesus sit down and announce his ministry, his mission in the world. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim that this is the year of the Lord's favor. And that is Jesus' mission, and that is the mission that he calls us to join in with him. So we too are anointed and called to bring good news to the poor, to set the oppressed free, to open the eyes of the blind, to proclaim that the Lord loves his world. Now, what does that look like in your life, in your day-to-day life, as you live it out? Who are the poor with whom you have to do? Here in Middlesbrough, we see signs of that poverty all around us. And we are called, each and every one of us, to do something about that. We are called to liberate the oppressed, and oppression comes in all sorts of different shapes and sizes. So first of all, at one end of the scale, we are called to welcome and to show hospitality to those who have been oppressed by regimes and by things that are going on, and war and devastation around the world, and open our arms to the alien and the stranger. It's really clear all the way through the Bible that is one of our key callings. But there are other forms of oppression. There's the oppression of loneliness, the oppression of people not having somebody to talk to or enough to do, the oppression of not knowing that you are valued and loved and that your life has purpose. There are a whole load of people out there who don't know that, who feel valueless and purposeless and unloved. Set them free from their oppression. Show them and tell them how much God loves them, how much we as the people of God love them. In that passage from Romans, It points that we are made to be in community with one another. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Whether we like it or not, we belong to one another. We are made to serve the world in which we live and to draw people into that life of belonging. So that's the second calling. So our first calling is to love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. And our second calling is to love our neighbor as ourselves, whatever that might mean on a day-to-day basis for each and every one of us. And the third calling that we have, this is where we start to get a bit particular. Because each one of us has been given different gifts, and we are called to use the particular gift or skill or experience that God has gifted us with for the benefit of the world and the community which we serve. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. In Romans, Paul talks about prophesying, and he talks about the gift of faith, and serving, and teaching, and encouraging, of giving, and leading, and showing mercy. In 1 Corinthians, he has a slightly different list. He talks about wisdom, and knowledge, and faith, and gifts of healing, and miraculous powers. Prophecy again, discernment, speaking, and interpretation of tongues. But in both Romans and in 1 Corinthians, it is clear that the intention is all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them for the sake of the common good. The gifts you have been given are not for your benefit. They are for the benefit of the whole people of God and the world which you serve. And God has given just enough gifts to all the people in this church to be the church, to do the thing that he has called you to be. So if you don't bring your gifts, if you think you're too humble and you don't want to offer your gift because you don't think it's quite good enough, you don't think you're one of those special people who's been called, and you've got a gift and he's put a passion on your heart and he's given you a compassion for some of his people, and you don't bring that and offer it to the Lord, this body won't work very well. So bring your gift, because God has given it you for the common good and for the sake of this community. However small you think it is, however unnecessary, your gift is necessary and important. And that gift may be being worked out, again, not in the church building on a Sunday morning or at any other times. It may be that your gift is something that is worked out in your own life, in your community. We're called to three things. Love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. Love our neighbors as ourselves. And use those gifts which God has given us and the passion he has put on our heart to do the thing that we have been specially called to do in the place where he has set us. And as we bring those gifts to him, as we offer them to him afresh this morning, as we come to our Eucharist, so we will begin to change the world, so that everyone will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And everyone will know just how much they are loved and valued and have purpose and whose lives have meaning. Without you, the world will never come to know that. So what are you called? Amen.